Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
One last time. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Julie. Hey, Santa. Welcome to Hey, Julie, a podcast about all sorts of things.
It has
Christmas
to be.
Christmas edition.
Yeah, it has to be about other things. It has to be for me personally. And we'll get into that this episode. How are you doing, Brett?
Not good. Poor Danielle has spent the last 17 minutes watching me have a complete technical meltdown.
That's
and personal
true.
Meltdown.
That's true. And you know what's even crazier is usually I'm the one who arrives exactly on time. And today I was a little bit early. So not only that, but I've just been sitting here like enjoying my tasty beverage that I always bring to our recordings. While Brett has like had, yeah, he's having a time.
I'm just cursing a lot. we'll get into it. Survivor. Did Danielle watch it?
Okay, so my thing about Survivor is that I really think this show is unwatchable, actually. I know that this podcast is ostensibly about Survivor, but like I texted Brett, I booted up the finale to watch it. It's 2 hours and 8 minutes long, first of all. 2 hours, yeah. That's the same length as Oscar to be nominated film Maestro.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so like that is such a long episode of these five idiots in the fucking on the beach watching the sunrise, competing in their stupid little challenges with stupid Jeff in his pants coming out with his mocking smile. Jeff is checked out. I felt like these people are checked out. I only watched the first like 40-ish minutes, maybe not even that. And that little bit that I watched, I was on my phone. And I've been like this for the last couple of episodes. You guys, I also like went and read some like Survivor tweets. I'm like, you guys are all, everyone's in denial. Everyone's fooling themselves. People are like, this was a top 5 season in the modern era or whatever.
There's only been 5 seasons in the modern era.
I just like, people are like, they've loved it. They loved the finale. They loved this cast. They loved this season. I'm like, we have to be watching different things. I just don't, I don't think it's possible for people to really be enjoying it. I think everyone is lying to themselves. I think we reach an age where we like things that we're comfortable with. And that's, people are just like comfortable with Survivor. They love it.
That's what still. My Spotify algo is all about.
Yeah, things you like.
You want new music? No.
Yeah.
You want something that's even old and you've never heard before? No. You want to listen to this LCD Sound System song from 2012? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I feel that way about certain TV shows. So sometimes when I'm scrolling to find something to watch, I'm like, you know what? I could watch this, or I could just go watch a random episode of The Sopranos for the 18th time. And that's what I'd rather do. And that is a true marker of being old and stuck in your ways, I admit. But I just think this was not... I think Survivor has taken a huge downturn in terms of quality. It is just not good. It's not good TV anymore. Period.
Hashtag Danny was right. Hashtag Danny is right. We've seen my evolution on this season of Survivor on this podcast. I was into it. I was loving the cast from Napoleon Dynamite to who was Napoleon Dynamite's friend?
Oh, I don't know who Julio? Napoleon Dynamite.
Pedro. Vote for Pedro. Yeah, Pedro. There was no Pedro.
Oh, the real Pedro. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I was like, the women in this cast is amazing. We are like, you know, 9 for 9. Every woman was amazing. Is amazing this year. And then like the first tribal council, someone's like, I mean, I guess she is amazing for doing it. She's like, I'd rather be home and eating tater tots.
Who?
And yeah, what was that girl's name?
Who? I don't even know who.
Hannah. Hannah. Remember the first tribal council? Someone yes. was like, I don't want to be here.
You know what? Like, upon hindsight is 2020, I think she was like, she saw the writing on the wall. She said, this is a flop season. Why should I be part of this?
And over the last few weeks, I've been like, this is kind of a flop season. Yeah, like, I cannot say I really thought this was a good season at all. I think do you know who won the season?
Yeah, I do.
I think D is a deserving winner.
Sure.
Of like who we got.
I just think I it's like, I don't know.
But like,
is anyone, not to diminish her specifically, I would say this even for the past couple of seasons, but it's sort of like, let's put 20 strangers on an island and throw a dart at this point. That's like how much actual, I think, I mean, not to diminish the competitions. Of course, those are really hard and like, yeah, it takes a lot to win those. But any strategy or gameplay other than that is non-existent.
Well, there wasn't any. Yeah. You had an incredibly powerful group of four make their way pretty much to the end of the game. And then you had Jake and Keturah, and to a lesser extent, Emily and some of the other people who weren't part of the Reba Four, refuse to band together, refuse to trust each other, even when it's in their own best interest. I don't know how much you watch, but when Keturah flipped her vote at the last minute and was like, I'm actually going to vote Julie, I was like, there we go. This is over. D just won Survivor. Keturah and Jake had this opportunity to get out D, to get out the person who actually was going to win Survivor and who did. And they couldn't do it because these people refused to work together. Jake, who was a great character, who I loved, a theater boy who cries a lot. Hi. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I loved it, but this dude, like, he wasn't very good at Survivor. He just wasn't. Like,
what is good at Survivor? That's my problem.
Well, not breaking the fucking competition. Well, you didn't get to this part. During the final four immunity comp, Jake literally was having a hissy fit in the middle of it. And this was actually an amazing moment. I don't think I've ever seen Jeff get like this. They have to stack the little bowls with the little stick. Uh-huh. And they have to like high step over this rack. And if they even touch the rack at all, it's going to shake the thing where the bowls are, and the bowls are going to fall down. They have to start from scratch. And Jake and D were literally tied the entire time. And the other two were like, whatever. And you're like, oh my God, Jake's actually going to win the final, or at least come very close. And he knocks all of his stuff down at the end. And then he starts stomping on the rack. And Jeff is like, if you break the competition, you lose. We're not setting this up again. And then he kept stomping, and literally where everything was suspended from broke from the metal or from the wood posts, and it snapped. It broke. And Jeff was yelling at Jake. He's like, what are you doing? You're done. Get out of here. It was amazing. It was like angry dad Jeff.
All right, well, I've never seen that. I did not see that part. That God, maybe would have been worse.
Your hair might have stood up on your arm. Like, ooh. Daddy's angry.
I
haven't seen that, but like,
that part.
Fucking don't break the competition. You work with Keturah in a way to get D out. He was a flop gameplay wise. Austin was a complete flop gameplay wise. What would have been crazy is if they even did get out D. I think Austin probably was going to win the game. And TikTok has recently discovered that I watch Survivor, so I'm now getting all these like Survivor recap and strategy posts sent to me. Like Kelly Wentworth is very good on TikTok. Some of these other Survivor podcasts are people who have like a whiteboard and they map out all this like Survivor strategy of votes and stuff. I'm now woke to the idea that Survivor Austin killed. Is not very good at Survivor, and that he's like very good physically. And was very lucky, but these people, this was a flop season. And to your point of like, let's just stick 20 people on an island and throw a dart. I have a rare bit of Big Brother praise. I don't think we were like super hot on this season of Big Brother, but I think we liked the cast a lot.
Yes,
we did. Despite it not being like, a top echelon season of Big Brother. BB25, not Reindeer Games, which people talk about. You know what was great about that cast? And we mentioned it many times. How many olds there were on this cast.
Yes.
The recent Survivor has been like old free. And what I'm thinking about, and when you, the listener at home, who likes Survivor and have been watching Survivor for years, you think about what's really good about Survivor. There have been so many olds who
Gabe
not only do well in the game, win the game.
Yeah.
And it was like Bruce and Julie, who frankly are probably only 10 years older than me and absolutely 100% more physically fit than me. Like, What?
They're probably less than 10 years older than you.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I think Bruce is like 45. I think, yeah, exactly. I think they're like probably less than.
I also, just a side note, I do not think they should be allowed to cast anyone named Julie on these shows. Because it just would, when we get questions about Julie in the Discord, I was like, what? Julie Chen? Like, and I didn't watch Survivor as much. So it was very difficult for me personally. Anyway, go on. Go on.
Where are the olds?
Yeah.
Where are the olds? Stop it with all these 25-year-old, like, oh, I'm a grad student. I'm a this, I'm a that. And like, okay, maybe they're hot or like they just want to be friends and hook up. And like when you have olds, they're grumpy.
Yeah.
They hold a grudge. I don't want to work with this person. Like, I don't know. Like, there's like we're missing like a curmudgeonliness to Survivor, and it can be like a very curmudgeonly sort of game. Like, people are grumpy, people aren't sleeping, and I just feel we're really missing out on like a type of player recently. And like, this goes back to the stuff at the beginning of the year where you had two people essentially quit the game who were young and who were like could not be inconvenienced enough to like not eat food and like sleep on bamboo for a month.
Yeah.
I'm too inconvenienced to do those things. Yeah. That's why I'm not applying to be on Survivor.
Same. But I think it's the balance. It's like, it's because that was what also made BB25 good too. It wasn't entirely old. It was the average age was older. I think you have to look at the cast of a reality show, a good cast of a reality show. Like, you would look at the standard cast of a Commedia dell'arte. Oh.
El buffuno, el capitano,
el doctor. You need like the two young lovers. You need the old perv.
We had that. Well, we didn't have an old perv.
You need the doctor. You need the clown. And then you need, like, I don't know even who else is there. But you need you do need young lovers. We had the young lovers. I like young lovers. I want them to hook up. But I also need, the old doctor.
Oh, yes. Here we go.
Name them.
Zani.
Who is?
I don't know who Zani is.
That's the Zany clown.
His name is Zany. Zany. Yeah, the class of man. Yeah, okay. It's a clown. Pantalone?
Yeah, who's that?
Yeah, he's like, I don't know. He's a guy.
They all have archetypes, like Brett.
Like a merchant. He's usually a merchant who's powerful.
Okay, powerful. Yes.
Generally an old merchant, often wealthy, esteemed.
That's the perv.
Il dottore, the doctor.
See, I paid attention.
We forgot Arlecchino. Oh, Harlequin. Yeah.
Well, isn't Harlequin the romantic people?
No, that's Harley Quinn and the Fantabulous Birds of Prey, the Fantabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn. Pulcinella.
That's the pig.
Which I don't know.
That's
Colombina.
That's the coffee.
That's the mischievous maid. El Capitano.
Yes. That's like the hunk. And then
Brighella, the shrewd servant.
Ooh. See, like this, if you think of any successful, great cast of characters in any piece of art whatsoever, I promise you they all probably fit into one of those archetypes.
The lovers are inamorati, the young upper class lovers.
Yeah.
With names such as Flavio and Isabella.
So see, you need one of all of these people. You can all be traced back to that if it's a big cast. If it's a small, if it's just like a two-person cast, then it's always maps to snob versus slob. That's all there is to it. It's that if you have a two-hander, one of them's a snob and one's a slob, and that's how you know it's going to be good.
I'm so happy that our listeners got a really good, like, classic theater history lesson. This is what Jake would have wanted.
Hey, Jufi, that's what I came here for. This is what I came for.
Hey, Pantalone.
That's what we should read. I bet there is a podcast out there about, like,
about Commedia dell'arte. Yeah. I mean, okay, listen, guys, it's basically just like what sitcoms were to people who lived in like the 1600s.
Ye olden days.
Yeah.
So
okay.
So
can we not talk about Commedia dell'arte anymore?
Yeah. So So in a nutshell, I think they need to do a big revamp of, I think they need to bring back, you were saying, I'm like, when's the last time they had olds? Was it like Gen X versus millennial? They need to bring back a season like that. They have to do boomers versus Gen Z.
I do have one question for you because this, you might've even seen this, was when they were doing the counting competition at the very beginning of the episode. And Jake is like, I can't remember the numbers, but I can remember that 17 is for whoever won Survivor 17. And one of them was like 42 or 43. And he was like, Gabler. Do you remember Gabler, Danielle?
Yeah, I do remember Gabler. I mentioned him earlier in this episode. I said no, Gabler's.
I was not listening. For I was Il Bufuna.
Gabler's a past old, hashtag old winner. Yes, I 100% remember Gabler. Listen.
But he was the only old on that cast. Like, we need olds, man.
Bring back Rudy.
Yeah, we need like old. Someone's grumpy mom who's like chain smoked for all of the 1980s.
Yeah, they got to be wrinkled, not dead. Wrinkled, not dead.
Yeah, yeah, and Julie and Bruce are keeping it tight. You know,
too tight.
I want to talk about something.
Yes,
they did Bruce dirty. I think we just discussed, like, this is a pro Bowie Jane podcast, right. And this is like a pro Bruce podcast now, too. Like, Bruce, granted, he got a lot of screen time up until he left, but every week they've got the, you know, like, they're in the tribal council, and it's like, we're always cutting to Kelly. And Kelly's like, oh, they're doing this? They're just like, we're getting every whisper that Kelly says in there. Kelly's a sweet girl. If Kelly's single, holler, please. But Danielle's face as I said that.
Because what's going through my mind, Brett, is who's Kelly?
Exactly. But that's my point. She did nothing other than get blindsided on, you know, she was a cute brunette girl who is the nurse.
Relatable. Oh, except being a nurse. True job that can help people. Anyway, go on.
But it's like, we're getting a lot of her. And even in the after show, which you didn't even need to watch, like, they ask everybody a question. Bruce didn't get anything. They went to Emily to be like, hey, Emily, can you shit on Bruce more? Can you talk about the time where the first 2 seconds of the season you were like, Bruce sucks.
Which is surprising.
All people did was shit on Bruce, and Bruce, like, he like had tears in his eyes and he didn't say anything during the entire thing. Like, why did everyone hate Bruce? I gotta know. We gotta have someone from this season on. They're all doing like the interviews and stuff. Our DMs are, we gotta get someone on to be like, yeah, he was super annoying, but like, he seems like a decent guy. Like, why the hell was everyone crapping on him? And they didn't even give him a moment in the finale to do anything. It was, I thought it was odd.
It also goes against the like entire new philosophy of new Survivor, which is like to be so good natured, so generous in how they treat their contestants that it actually ends up being extremely boring because they refuse to have like a villain. They refuse to have a bad, I'm doing finger quotes, like bad guy. They refuse to, like, I'm sure people do say shitty and spicy things in confessionals, but they are not airing them. Like, that is very surprising to me that they, I mean, clearly they knew it was like a fun moment. The reason it's a fun moment is because we're all thirsty for that kind of behavior. We're all thirsty for people to be like, he sucks. She is a loser. Like, we want that. So for them to go back and hit on that again tells me they know that's what we want. So why, I don't know.
It's like the curse. It's like the curse. We gotta engineer a bit of conflict for this reality TV show. We can't just have Emma Stone out here giving away free houses to people.
What a great character. Yeah. This show needs a lot of work. This show needs a lot of work, a lot of help. And I don't think they're going to do anything about it. I think we're going to watch, like, we're going to go into the next season optimistic, as we always are.
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
because they did the oh, next season on Survivor, and like, they were filmed? Showing all the people, and I'm okay. like, it's the same 20 people again. So it's a bunch of like very young. It's like a bunch of very young people, I'm sure, who have harrowing backstories, and like we're all supposed to feel good about it. Like I actually have a note here about this. I wrote a note. Oh yeah, it was the final tribal starts, and this is when the jury is like asking them questions, like asking them to defend their game. And the first like five questions was all like, "What were your feelings about this? What were your feelings about like making it to the end?" It's like, fuck, like literally. Sorry to be fucking like Bobert here, but like, fuck your feelings. Like, show me what you did. They eventually got to that part, but the amount of time of like everyone explaining like their personal reason for like, who cares? Tell me who you kissed. Tell me who you dissed.
Yes.
Tell me who you stabbed in the front.
Yes. Tell like, me who's woke. Tell me who's broke. Like.
I don't know, man. I don't want to seem like I don't want this to be. Well, we are haters, but like
we are haters.
I don't want. We do this because there's a because we have like a joy for this, and like I don't want it to just be like the bashing, like the
I know.
Big Brother bashing show and the Survivor bashing show. But I did think like you know the way it's like they can't control how everything shakes out. You have this like very powerful alliance of four just basically go through. You know, just fully protected, fully insulated. No one really challenged them, and they can't control that. But I found it to be pretty boring. And also, I found those players to not even be particularly strong. Like, I didn't think Austin was strong. Jake was a good story, but he wasn't. He made a bunch of strategic errors in addition to not really being able to win a competition. Katura couldn't win anything, and I liked her attitude. I liked that she was constantly ripping Bruce behind his back.
Yeah.
But she also didn't work with anybody. She's great. I would love to see her again on another season of Survivor, but also like she didn't do anything. Nobody did anything. Congratulations to Dee.
Here's the thing.
I think she's good. Put her on a winner, like another winner season. I thought she was great. But like I didn't think she had a particularly difficult road to the end here.
I just want to say
the competitors were kind of weak this year.
I think the reason us being haters is like okay is because we're coming into this in good faith. The reason we do this is because we have in the past enjoyed Survivor and thought it was a great show. It's just a natural thing that's happening right now, which is that we are ahead of the curve, ahead of the trend by knowing that this show didn't sustain that. And it's in its flop era. It just is. And we're calling it out. And it's hard. It's hard to watch Survivor under duress of like the duress of knowing that it's not good. So it's and just it a reaction. And it starts
again in 2 months.
Which I don't even know if we're going to be ready for. I guess we'll see.
I'm not. It's like February 28th or something like that.
I know. I don't know if we're going to be ready. Maybe we need to find a different show. I'm always trying to keep my eyes open for shows I can tell Brett about or like fun movies to force him to watch. Especially because I was looking through our past episodes and like the episode we did last year at this time was like my favorite episode of all time because we talked about Inside Man on Netflix.
Oh my God. That was so good. Not the show.
Yeah. But so, so that's the thing. That's what's up. You know what? Listen, why don't we talk about something we liked? And it's called Big Brother Reindeer Games.
As I teased last week, I'm a man of my word. I watched the first episode and I watched the last episode. I didn't watch anything in between. I do not have time for this. The last episode was a tight 42 minutes. I think I made the mistake though of like, it was all competition though. Like there was no more of like, oh, who am I going to have do this? It was just the thing where like Xavier deciding that he was going to go against Nicole.
Yeah.
But so it was all comp. It was fine. I don't know. Like
it was the perfect length. I watched it all.
Did you watch every episode?
Every episode.
So you fill me in. Like, what happened? What did you like?
I just think,
what did you dislike?
It was 2 weeks long of like the most Christmas Santa filled. It's like I said last episode, this is a family show. And you can see in like when they, in the finale, they introduce Santa, who is the man who does the Big Brother narration, and they put him in like a suit. But that's the voice. That's the guy.
No, for sure. But like, yeah, it was wild because during the like the kind of like pre-shot, pre-produced like VO thing with like Santa reading his book. And, you know, it was like something that wasn't live. I was like, did they just hire an actor to say the words? And then they had the Big Brother VO guy do VO, like do ADR right, to replace right. it. But no, but it was like the same guy. I don't think that guy's fat though. I don't think that guy's fat either.
There was a structure.
There was a structure to Santa's stomach there that
I didn't want to say anything natural. Because I didn't want to like bring up someone's body, but
stealing valor, stealing fat valor, yeah.
Shallow Hal valor. Oh. But the reactions of the cast to Santa and to like a lot of the stuff were just very clearly like these close-up shots where you could hear the producer be like, more, react more, give me bigger, now laugh. Now you love seeing Santa, you're shocked. Like you can see all of that direction in, but I'm just like, it's corny. It's for kids and their families. It's people I like. The eventual winner, Nicole, actually did have like a kind of nice little arc in the show, which shocking over like the course of six episodes, the 3 days it took for them to shoot this. It was like, she was like, I didn't work out before coming here. I'm a mom and I'm going up against these big guys, but yet she won. And it was like, everyone in the end was rooting for Taylor, obviously, but still she won. And I said this in our Discord, we as a culture, as a nation need to finally give Nicole her flowers. She's so consistently. And she won. She was in a final two. And she made it like pretty okay.
And I think she was in final three as well.
In the 16th season? I don't really remember.
Oh, no.
But now she's won again.
Well, she never made it to final two. She never lost final two.
She did lose final two. She lost in All-Stars. Oh, you're right. She was final three.
No, she was third place. Yeah, yeah. Kitty purr, pow,
you're
meow,
right,
meow,
right.
got his final two. No, yeah, she was like fifth or sixth place in BB16.
So I just think, and that's her superpower, is like every year people are like, oh, we don't have to worry about Nicole. And then suddenly she wins. I just think it's great. Good
or,
for her.
Yeah, or it's like, you know, we should go after Nicole. And she's like, oh, you really gonna nominate me? Like, I just live
she's
in
like
Michigan.
A Muppet. Yeah.
I'm just like a little girl.
And she won 100K for like
great.
2 weeks work.
It's great.
Good for her. My God.
1 week's work.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that they like, I mean, granted, it was only like 5 days later. I couldn't believe they dug everybody out.
They
for
dug
like
them
everyone
out.
Who lost. It's like, why is Cameron here? Cameron, a man who theoretically purportedly loves his daughter. And all every time I see this guy, he's on TV in LA.
And he's a stay-at-home father. So like, who's taking care of this child? I know. I'm sure there's someone. But yeah, raises questions. It does raise questions.
It raises a lot of questions.
But yeah, I thought it was a well-done little holiday show. You know, it was like a scab show that they had to make because they didn't have enough programming because of the strikes. But yeah, dude. It was a hit. I think they're going to do it again next year.
I don't see why they won't do it again next year. I think it did pretty well. I mean, it's this time of year. They don't have like new stuff out coming out anyways. Like all the network shows go on break for this 2-3 week period anyways, because they know people are traveling. People aren't watching.
Yeah.
Sweeps week is over.
It's over.
Elsabeth ended on the mid-season. Mid-season, like, oh no, what'll happen to Elsabeth?
I haven't watched any Elsabeth. I should watch it.
Did she forget her Metro card in the kookiest way possible?
I gotta watch me some Elsabeth. I love Elsabeth. So there's a new film out on Netflix.
Oh, okay. So we're done.
Well, there's nothing. Do you have anything else about Big Brother?
Yeah, not really. I don't know. Like, I liked the two episodes that I watched. I felt good. Yeah, there was a nice
the pageantry was fab. Wait, should we get to some questions about the things that people actually listen to this show for, namely Big Brother and Survivor, before we move on?
There's no Aaron Sorkin questions here.
Okay. Is anyone excited for the finale of Reindeer Games? Moople asked. Yes. I said I was. this is all in Big Brother. Phil of Nine says, because I said, why won't we give Nicole her flowers? Phil of Nine says, I will give her one flower. Brittany not happy to see Santa was the best part of the season. Santa is evil incarnate. I did like that. That was like a cute little nod to like why we watch reality shows. We like seeing people talk shit in the DR about even Santa. Okay. Now let's go into
Tullinator. Tullinator asks, would Julie have won if Keturah voted out D?
And my mind was like, hey, Julie.
Julie Chamunda's. No, I think there's rules against CBS employees playing Survivor.
This is such a Brett question. Take it away. How would I know?
A question for people who watch the Survivor finale.
That's my mind.
At the beginning of the show, I ask you, I'm like, did you watch the Survivor finale? And you're like, well, it's an interesting question. And you talk for 4 minutes straight. I'm like, okay, so that's a no.
It's a yes or no question. Can you tell that like...
There's a lot in the Survivor finale of... I almost felt it was like almost a little like demeaning. But like when Julie is evicted, she goes to Keturah and she whispers like, you should go to law school, become a lawyer. And basically and all this stuff about like, and then Jake, you know, when Keturah is, she loses the fire thing. Jake is like, Keturah is amazing. She would make a great lawyer one day. And eventually Keturah says like, I am a lawyer. But anyways, you would be a good lawyer.
Thank you.
Because I asked you a yes or no question and you talked for 5 minutes about something else.
I often think I should have been a lawyer. So thank you for affirming that for me.
I don't like doing work though.
I know, but once you're a lawyer, you get like paralegals and stuff and you get like Elsabeth. Oh. Elsabeth can Elsabeth. Go do it.
So at final five, they vote out Julie instead of D. And I think that's like a pretty... I think that was like the fulcrum moment of the season. And I was like, okay, D is going to win. It's over. Would Julie have won? I don't know. I think probably Austin. I don't know if it would have been deserved, but there was obviously a lot of like juice for Austin. He won. It was a pretty close vote. It was 5-3 was the vote. D was a much more deserving winner than Austin, I think. And he still got 3 votes. So I don't know. I would have struggled to see like Julie explain any sort of like moves, because I don't think she really did any, whereas Austin was kind of like there for some, though I thought he was kind of rough strategically. That's it.
I just, what went through my mind as you were saying that,
is you're bored?
No. Am I in the twilight zone when I'm thinking, what moves? What strategy? No one had any. No one had any, because you can't. It's not possible in this show, in its current incarnation, to have any moves or strategy. That's it. I can't.
The only person who had strategy... Well, you're right about that. Is like, there is so much rando shit happening.
It's rando.
And, oh, you have to go to a mountain to get a sandwich, to get a... amulet that turns into another thing. There is so many rando machinations that it is hard to have strategy unless your strategy is to like scoop up every, like it is hard. There are too many twists and stuff that you can't reliably have much of a strategy week to week on it. You're right. Danny's right.
Thank you.
Hashtag Danny was right. Stuff. Let's talk about what we came here for.
Do we want to do any of the other questions or we want to wait?
Well, there was one that I think one of these questions can be saved for later.
Okay.
I think they're more miscellaneous. We wanted to address more Big Brother Survivor questions first.
Yeah. Okay. So there's this movie on Netflix now called Maestro that Brett saw. Brett saw it in theaters and gave his review last week.
10 out of 10.
The week before?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, I think.
This is Bradley Booper's sophomore film. Obviously, Star is Born was the first one. Beloved film. Memed to the hell. High heavens film. Starring Gaga. Oscar nominated. Said, made everyone sit up and say, that Bradley Cooper? He's a director. Like, he knows how to make art. Myself included. I put on Maestro last night and I put my phone away. Because I was like, I need to pay attention. Yes, to this art. And I didn't even have a glass of wine to enjoy because I was like, I need to be stone cold sober for this movie. I need to let it wash over me. I need to pay attention. Oh my gosh. Wow. This movie is a bomb. Wow. And I really can't believe but I'm not in the minority. I texted Brett. I think I might have a nuclear take, but like I went and read some of the Letterboxd reviews. I went and read like some other reviews and I'm like, no, actually everyone agrees with me, which is that this is a bad movie. This is not even a movie. It's beautiful. Oh my gosh. It is so beautiful.
I was swept away by this film.
Some of the shirts that he wears are beautiful. It's beautifully tailored.
Did you finish it?
I watched the whole thing. And you know, the last like 45 minutes, I'm watching it with my husband and he's like, do we have to keep watching this? Nothing's happening. I was like, no, we're watching to the end. I need to see every moment of this film because I was pot committed. Also, like I said, it was only 2 hours and 8 minutes long, which is the same length as the Survivor finale. So I was like, surely I can watch a film that's 2 hours and 8 minutes isn't that long for a movie, especially like Oscar bait movie like this.
Yeah.
So not only do I think this movie was incredibly bad, but I also the things that people are pointing out where they're like, yeah, it sucked, but like, wow, great performances, got to give it up for them, and like for Carey Mulligan and Bradley Cooper and their chemistry together. So wrong. They were horrible. I was like, have these people met before? Like, why? They had no chemistry whatsoever. The most important thing that could possibly be transmitted through this film, because they clearly cared about this relationship, but I was like, why would I care about this relationship? These people just met at a party and for some reason they're in love. I can't tell why. Carey Mulligan's annoying. Bradley Cooper's annoying. Like, they liked each other. They loved each other. Where was the issue? Yeah. There was no conflict in this movie whatsoever.
The issue was that he was cheating on her with men.
But she knew that from the beginning. Time.
But she knew.
From the beginning she was okay with it.
Yeah, she wasn't for a hot minute, but then she's like, actually, you know what?
It's fine.
He's pretty good. Yeah. He's a good boy.
And it's not like he ever mistreated her. Like, yes, no. He stepped out on her, but like,
he was a lover. He had so much love in his heart.
Lover boy.
And he was a performer and you know, it's like she was a performer as well. And you know, just like when those elements butt heads and he's a bigger star than she is, not that she wants to be, has jealousy or ego about it, but his music consumed him and
but we didn't even see that. We didn't even see that at all.
The part where he's conducting the thing in the church, like about a half hour left. That was amazing.
I don't think so.
I was like jaw on the floor. Like, this is cinema.
I was like, can I fast forward? Because like, here's the thing. Here's the other thing that they didn't want, like, this movie.
Sweaty.
Lenny Bernstein's family should sue this film. Because all it made me think was like, damn. Bernstein, I thought he was big. He did not have the hits. He did not have a lot of hits. Where were the hits?
What? I mean, I think he produced In the Club with 50 Cent and Eminem.
Like, I really think Bohemian Rhapsody is the same movie, but with better music.
Bohemian Rhapsody is awful.
No, it's
awful
a better film. Movie with better music and a better lead performance.
Yeah, like Queen's music is like more popular.
It's the same story. It's the same story.
No, it's a different story.
A genius musician who is gay, marries a woman, and then has a great musical career.
No, well, first of all, this is bi erasure. I think he was bi.
Oh, he's bi. Sure, they're both bi. So what? But the problem was in both, but I'm doing finger quotes because it wasn't really a problem for either of them, was that he wanted to get with men more than he wanted to get with his wife. That didn't stop him from caring for her, loving her, raising children with her, like providing for her. Like, they still had a great life. The kids were okay.
I
know. Well,
I thought it was beautiful. Like, that's what was beautiful about the movie. It wasn't just like she gets sick of his dalliances and leaves him and that's the end of the movie. It's like these people loved each other so much that despite all those things, they were still so connected to each other. Even when they were pulled apart and like that relationship got so strained, they still needed each other.
None of that comes across in the movie.
I was so fucking invested in this.
Oh my God.
At first, I was with you. Like, the part, they meet at a party, and it's like they're in love all of a sudden, and then they're like...
They had no chemistry.
There's the movie is, like, somewhat fantastical. And...
That's all it is.
I think you have to buy into that as well, is that it's like... It's more Rocket Man than it's more Rocket Man than it is Bohemian Rhapsody. Rocket Man, the Elton John biopic that like doesn't really like stay inside of it is more like it doesn't stay inside of like trying to be like a naturalistic biopic about like Freddie Mercury played this concert and then Freddie Mercury played that concert, which is, I think, what sucked about Bohemian Rhapsody is like this shit is all completely made up and you're playing it off like this is the story of what happened to them. Whereas like you can't do that with these people's lives. So Rocket Man, so Maestro, it's like, let's just have some dance sequences in the middle of this movie. Let's have something representing the heightened emotions they're feeling,
but they didn't even have the music that they
created. There's like a dance sequence in the middle of this where like Bradley Cooper's doing like a hey jig. Soldier anything goes kind of thing. I'm like, that's where I was like, I wasn't sure about this movie, and that's where I was like, this movie is great.
No.
I love this. I love when a movie is like, let's forget about reality for a second, let's show the emotion, let's pair this person's art with heightened emotions for cinema, with unreal staging, unreal framing. Let's tell the story this way than like the version of the story, which is a bunch of people sitting in rooms and being bored.
I'm fine with that too if it's earned, and it was not earned. These two, I was like, what? Who cares? Honestly, I left the movie thinking like, I didn't learn anything about these two. I don't know anything now that I didn't know. It really swayed me in the opposite direction where I was like, I thought Leonard Bernstein had a bunch of hits. He really only had West Side Story. And then he wrote a bunch of like church music, which is just not that exciting.
No, I learned who they were because I didn't know who the fuck they were. I heard Leonard Bernstein. I know he wrote West Side Story.
But
like,
he did
a bunch of other stuff. He did a bunch of like classical music.
Church that music.
I never listened to.
Gregorian chants.
Sounds cool though.
like, where were the hits? They couldn't do one little ditty, one little.
I don't think he did hits.
Tonight, America, nothing from West Side. And why didn't they cast someone to play Stephen Sondheim? I know. I just like I couldn't believe this movie.
It wasn't about that.
It wasn't about anything. It had nothing to it. There was nothing to this movie. You know what? This movie, as I was watching it, I was like, God, I wish I was watching Tar. I wish I was watching
this movie. Is
Amadeus?
This movie is what if Tar did the same exact thing? Cheat on their spouse with a bunch of young students, but everyone was like, "Cool, sounds good. Yeah, exactly. We like you.
Let's take this out any issue."
Yeah, no, it was great. It's the perfect like the other side of the coin to Tar. It's like. Tar did all these things, and we're like, ooh, Tar down bad. But
like,
when Maestro does it, you're like, well, he is one charming guy. Yeah, he can give me a kiss. That's fine.
He asked nicely. I was so hoping that at the end, because at the end of Tar, she has to like be the conductor for video game music. I was hoping at the end of Maestro, like there'd be some sort of downfall, and it'd be like the finale would be him conducting a full orchestra going like, doo.
He invented Mario. Yeah.
Like, it's so great. But like that didn't happen. The movie ends. Okay. I do have to say the makeup was amazing, making him look that old.
Oh my God.
Very realistically. Bradley Cooper was great when he was old. Any other time it was bad. But they make him really old, really old. And they end the movie with him giving advice, like this young, extremely sweaty student. And then them like dancing on each other at the club.
Was like one of my favorite things I've seen in cinema all year. It was old Maestro at the club.
Disgusting.
Was so good.
I thought that was disgusting. This poor kid.
Oh, yeah.
This is a kid dancing.
Oh,
with
he
this.
Loved it. He loved it. That's why he wanted it.
He wanted it. He definitely wanted it. But I was like, they couldn't have made Bradley Cooper a little less decrepit in this part.
I thought that was amazing. I've never seen anything like that in a movie before. It was amazing.
I just think this movie is like so forgettable.
When people watch, when this catches on.
No, it's not going to.
like old ass Bradley Cooper dancing at the club is going to be the like meme his shirt of the generation.
Unbuttoned to his navel.
Sweaty, just drenched in sweat.
A lot of sweat in the movie. It just wasn't, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, which was just not anything good. I did like the Snoopy. There was a Snoopy, couple nods to Snoopy.
Oh, the Snoopy scene was great.
Couple nods to Snoopy.
Oh, perfect
but
bookends.
The Snoopy was the best part. The Snoopy happens like when Carey Mulligan is mad at Bradley for God knows what. It's their big fight. But there's no tension whatsoever because you're like, why are you suddenly mad about this? Why? Why was she suddenly mad? He was never going to leave her. He was never going to. No. He's been doing this the whole time.
He just wanted to, you know.
This movie is a get stunning. Get drunk
and kiss some people at parties.
A stunning endorsement of polyamory.
Of all people, Danielle. Canada's finest purveyor. Of all people, Danielle.
Speaking of, let's go to a question in the chat. In the chat, not the live chat, the Discord chat. Questions for the pod. What do you do if you see these two, photo of Timothée Chalamet and Kylie Jenner, suggestively to you across the theater during Wonka? Okay, mistake that's number one, Pizky.
Is that, that's Kylie Jenner?
That's Kylie Jenner.
I have no idea. I was like, I don't know who this woman is.
Okay, this brings up something I did want, like, I didn't know if there was appropriate to talk about or not, but that reminds me because I just saw and it made me very angry. Have you seen this? Of course, it's from a podcast. This podcast clip of Simone Biles's husband being like,
well, he's a football player, right?
I guess. To me, he's Simone Biles's husband. But he was like, I didn't know who she was. I didn't know. I don't watch gymnastics. She knew who I was. I'm the star of the relationship. And I'm just like, even if that's true, why are you saying that on a podcast? And like, as an athlete, wouldn't you know fellow? It's not like Simone Biles is like some fucking B-list gymnastics person. She's like the biggest gymnastics person there is. So like, why would you say that? And I just think that's very offensive. And I hope she finds a better man. Is all I can say.
Yeah, her husband is Jonathan Owens, who is a player on the
never heard of him
Green Bay Packers. Exactly. I agree with you. It's like she was like the most famous American in the world for like 2 weeks.
How did you not like it, what you just and didn't you, watch any Olympics coverage whatsoever? Give me a break.
I don't know. People, I don't
give
know.
Me a break. I just can't believe the disrespect to go on a podcast and say that about your wife.
Oh yeah, lie. Oh, I knew who she was the moment I saw her. Yeah,
exactly.
I knew I would marry this woman.
It's not charming.
And I would do anything for her. I'd make her eggs every morning.
You better, just the way she likes them. Here they are.
Made your eggs just the way you like them.
Okay, anyway, back to the question. What do I do if I saw that? I would be like, assume they're talking to like a younger person behind me. I don't think that I'd be like, why are these children?
I'm too old.
I'm too old. Why are these children looking at me? I think they lost their parents. They thought I'm their mom or something. Like, leave me alone. Should we move on to more questions?
Yeah, well, there's this Pizky question that I think we need to answer. Well, there's so many things to say about it.
Okay.
Question for the pod. Since I have no idea what either of you look like, who should I imagine playing both of you in the Hey Julie biopic?
First of all, this is a lie. You know what we look like?
This is what I need to dive into. We haven't been doing a lot of the shows on YouTube lately, but like we do the show on YouTube a bunch.
But also, no, there's this question comes from a Discord where the most used emojis are of our faces. I mean, admittedly.
Again, yes.
Admittedly, mine is extremely filtered and airbrushed because it's AI, but still. That's basically what I look like. And Brett's is definitely what he looks like.
There's photos of my face as like an emoji reaction to this.
Maybe it's too small and Pizky can't squint enough.
Who would play us in the Hey Julie biopic of our relationship?
I already know.
Of us, you know, being friends, breaking up as friends because I keep kissing people at parties.
What?
Me dancing at a club at the end. because I'm old and you're not there.
I already know. So you think it should be Bradley Cooper and Carey Mulligan. I already know.
No.
All right. Well, I think it should be Rose Byrne and Seth Rogen.
Oh my God, no. Don't give me Seth Rogen.
Why? I'm going by like vibes.
Give me someone hotter.
Okay, Rose Byrne and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh my God, no. I think I have like a Jake Johnson-esque energy. Yes.
Oh yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'd go with that. I'm going with that because of that show. And they're friends in real life.
I went to a hockey game. You know about this. Hockey, mm-hmm. It's a very popular sport in your land. I went to a hockey game and Seth Rogen was the ceremonial first puck dropper. He dropped the ceremonial puck.
I love Seth Rogen. I think that's great. A compliment to be compared to him. I'm going by vibes.
It's not the first time. Well, yeah, I don't know.
I don't think I look like Rose Byrne.
I'm vain. I think I just want to have people compare me to hotter people.
I understand that Rose Byrne is hotter than me, but that's not Danielle. Why I'm comparing myself to her.
Danielle.
Yes.
I'm not comparing you, but this is like, oh, he's trying to prove my point.
Oscar
here.
The Grouch.
Danielle, you're great. You know what? Who should play you in the biopic? Melissa McCarthy.
That's fine. I'd be fine with that. You're trying to prove some little point. No, I think she's hilarious.
You're pissed.
I love her, and she's adorable. She's got adorable.
Who is beautiful and talented? I get it, but I want to be compared to someone hotter than Seth Rogen.
Okay. I think I'd be friends
with him. He's famously anti having kids.
Exactly.
He hangs similar. Yeah.
He does. I'm not saying you do this, Brett's employers, but he loves drugs.
I don't know. Well, no, he just likes one. He likes one in particular that I have enjoyed in the past. I'm too old to do that stuff. Yeah. Now. I legitimately am like, this makes my brain sad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks for giving us that question that has now torn our friendship apart, Pizky.
Do you want to talk about the Golden Globe Awards?
Oh yeah,
we went to do that last week, and I have things.
Oh, he has to things. He has an axe to grind. Okay, let's do it.
Here we go. Are we gonna read them all, or I need to talk about one thing?
You have certain, bring up things you needed to talk about. I don't know if we need to go through.
There is a new category this year. This is what I need to talk about. Did you see this?
Yes.
There is a new category this year. So there's Best Picture Drama, Best Picture Musical or Comedy. First of all, Air being nominated, what a joke. That movie is horrible. That movie's worse than Maestro.
We did discuss on this podcast.
We did not like it. I like it. Go back, listen. There's a new category for cinematic and box office achievement. And the nominees are Barbie, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, John Wick Chapter 4, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, Oppenheimer, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Taylor Swift The Eras Tour, and the Super Mario's Brothers movies. What the fuck are we doing? Well, so this is like best movie that made money.
Yeah, exactly. Which, like,
because they also nominated Anatomy of a Fall, a fucking German and French language court film for best a movie, which I saw. They nominated Maestro. They nominated The Zone of Interest, a movie about Nazis. They're like, well, we got to nominate some movies that people have seen, and there are some really good movies in this. Oppenheimer and Barbie, which are themselves nominated for best picture in their respective categories. What I think is incredibly cynical is that the producers of this show were like, we got to get Taylor Swift on this television show in any fucking way possible. I don't care. How are we going to do it? Let's just make up a category.
You should just be happy. For
a best movie that made a bunch of money.
You should be happy. They didn't decide to say, let's do best like on-screen sports boy. So then they nominate Travis Kelce to get her there. You know, they would find a way.
I would have been nominated. I'm in that movie.
They would have found a way to get her there.
I,
so,
I, I encourage her to not show up. And I don't think she will. I think this is beneath her. I think it's desperate and obvious what they're trying to do. We don't have enough stars here. We have Sandra Hüller from Anatomy of a Fall nominated. We don't have Taylor. What are we? The producer's like, who's Sandra Hüller? Indeed. Where's Taylor Swift? I just think it's fucked that they're like, we can't like honor these people who actually like made amazing work. And people, you know, people like Taylor Swift. I'm sure amazing work went into that. But like, it's not a movie. It's a concert movie for children.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
I mean, that's,
also, Mission Impossible sucked. This wasn't good. Guardians of the Galaxy. Are you kidding me?
This is so Golden Globes, though. This is so Golden Globes. Wait, what did...
Okay, I also want to say that on the website for the Golden Globes, in the best male actor drama, the photo they're using of Cillian Murphy is from like 2003.
That's what I wanted to say. Okay, you brought up this category, which has Oppie nominated in it.
So best actor drama is. Do you want me to read them?
Or no, I'm making a point.
Okay,
or not a point. I'm asking a question. Do you think Oppie has lost steam?
I don't know who overtakes him.
You think?
Okay, so the other nominees are Andrew Scott in All of Us Strangers.
No.
Barry Keoghan in Saltburn. No. A movie that I do want
to
see.
I tried. It's on Amazon Prime. I was actually trying to watch it before I came to record that. This.
I might like it. It looks the idol.
It's like rare for me to say this. It's really rare because I am a big fan of the Brits, but it just was too British. I was like, I don't know if I can watch this.
Well, also it was, what's her face? Who did Promising Young Woman?
Emerald Fennell.
Promising Young Woman is, I would not call it like the greatest movie ever made. It's very interesting. I was like, that movie like plays with your expectations of like what to expect in a movie. And I admired the gumption of Promising Young Woman. So like, I see the trailer for this. It's got Barry. It's got Jacob Elordi. Oh, it's me, Elvis. I want to check it out. It looks sexy and twisted, just like Danielle at the club.
Twisted. Don't get it twisted.
The other nominees. So we got Andrew Scott, Barry Keoghan, Bradley Cooper as Maestro himself, Cillian Murphy as Oppenheimer, Colman Domingo in Rustin,
a
movie I'm probably not going to see, but he's really good.
Having a moment.
Jacob Elordi. Colman Domingo is amazing on Euphoria as like one of the only adult people on that show. He's awesome. And Leo in Killers of the Flower Moon.
It's just Leo versus Cillian. That's all there is to it.
I guess so. Maybe Coop. I don't know. Well, maybe other people like Maestro.
No, they don't.
The real Maestro heads are out there. Please stand up.
They don't.
The more I talk to people in public, the more I get the sense that people aren't really feeling Maestro as much. It's just wild because I went to go see this movie with two of my best friends who are huge movie lovers. And we saw this movie and we came out just like high on Maestro. We were walking on a cloud nine. We were like, this movie is amazing. I can't wait for people to see this movie. People are going to fall in love. It's the time of the season for love, and everyone's falling in love with Maestro and his wife, who's upset at Maestro. And I guess we're the only three people.
You guys were too high.
I wasn't.
This is what happened.
I'm not Seth Rogen.
I'm being so for real right now. Here's what happened. The Coastal Elite woke mind virus got to you guys. Yeah. And you got so high on the fact that you got to see this movie before everyone else that you thought it was better than it was. And now the midland, the middle of the country.
Real America.
Middle Americans like me in Ontario, Canada are watching middle, it and no, we're weighing north, in. Middle. And we're saying it stinks. It stinks. We don't like it. We'd rather watch the Eras Tour.
There's a foreign film called Io Capitano. Do you think that's about Commedia dell'arte?
I hope so. I don't know. We did get one more question.
Are there any other nominees you want to talk about?
I don't want to bring up I already talked about Brett had a sick pleasure in the fact that I brought, well, first I was wrong. I was like, oh, why wasn't the bear nominated? That was like a big, this show, we're going to do our best of 2023 next year. It is, it's in the comedy section. I know, it is actually nominated. With Barry, another comedy. So I was wrong, first of all. I thought he was snubbed. I thought the star of the bear was snubbed. And I brought that up to Brett. And Brett was like, you know that he's an abusive husband. And I was like, oh, MG, don't tell me that. Why can't we have anything good? I really hope it doesn't come out that Jack Reacher is also some piece of shit.
Look at him. You can't be that big and be, you cannot be that big and be nice.
I don't know. I like, this is my folly. I always just like I said, I come in good faith. I just hope for the best. Anyway, so I don't think there are that many other interesting nominees, are there? I thought that was a big snub, but it turns out I was just wrong and read incorrectly.
It turns out he was nominated. Yeah. I don't know. Everyone was nominated.
Everyone was nominated.
I mean, I think, yeah, like.
Just wait till they start doing Best Podcast, Brett.
They have all those awards. We never get nominated.
But they're going to start doing them at like the Globes.
Oh my, if they do Best Podcast at the Globes, I'm going to move to freaking Madagascar. Throw all my electronics in the ocean. I don't want to be part of this world.
Leave it all behind.
Podcasts are not prestigious. They're for ugly people to yell about things on the internet. They are not for beautiful people.
Leave the world behind.
Like Emily Blunt, Julianne Moore.
Whoa.
Jeffrey Wright. Charles Melton. You know.
Too beautiful for this world.
That's what the Globes are for.
Well, gang, so yeah, next week I have to go. I'm going to have to do research for our podcast next week because it's like our best of and our worst of. It's going to be
our hots and nuts.
Yeah. I went and looked back at our list from last year and it's very funny. On our knots list, first thing, COVID.
Why did
we say that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, because I had COVID at the time.
I was like, why wouldn't we say that about 2022? So, yeah, we're going to have our hots and our nots. I already know what our number one is going to be. I already know. Like our best pop culture moment. Where you guys are going to have to wait.
I know it is.
You guys, everyone else has to wait. Thank you all so much for listening, for joining our Discord and sending our questions and comments there. You can join it. There's a link in here somewhere. Mm-hmm. And you can tweet at us, HeyJulieBB. And you can email us, HeyJulieBigBrother@gmail.com. You can always do that. You don't have to even wait for me to say it. You could always do it. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Have a merry Christmas weekend if you're celebrating it. Happy Hanukkah if you weren't. Yeah, if you were doing that one a week ago, if you're doing another thing,
whatever.
Enjoy
it is
that
doing.
One.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I hope you get some time off. Hope you spend some time with family. Or if you're like Keturah, don't.
Yeah, no.
Don't spend time
healthy
with your
boundaries.
Yeah, healthy boundaries with family is also just as vital this time of year. We thank you. We love you. That's it.
Bye, Joofy.
Bye, Joofy.